I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, Masters Friday. What's happening? Let's do it. Lots to hit. That's a good day. It's a good day. Today was a good day. We're live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
Hey, our flight got all kinds of jacked up.
What are you doing here?
Teagan got sick.
Okay.
And then O'Pair got in a car wreck. And so one thing led to another and told us all to tell us both that we shouldn't be on a plane going to Paris.
However,
I have the greatest wife in the world.
Okay.
So as soon as the show is over, I'm going to JFK.
Oh, you're going today?
I'm getting on an airplane.
Oh, jeez.
I'm flying into Paris.
And you're still going to run?
I'm going to get up on Saturday. Well, I'll get there Saturday. I'll go get my bib. Sunday, I'll get up. I'll run the marathon. Sunday night, I'll be on a plane. I'll be back here for
Monday.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. That's a lot, man.
It's all good.
That's a lot.
And the experience of running a marathon, different ones, is what I live for.
I hear you.
And so,
That's what I live for.
You
we're
know,
at that
like,
level,
like recreationally.
I know.
You know, I live for my kids.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
I know that.
It is my physical outlet.
Yeah,
I do not have another one. Mm-hmm. I golf sometimes, but not a ton. Running is what I do. Traveling to Jerusalem like I did 2 years ago.
I think it was three.
Maybe 3 years ago because I took the it was before we were on TV. So it was definitely more than a couple years ago out in Big Sur, whether it was Boston, New York, I do every
year. That's right,
year.
Big Sur out in Northern California.
Which was awesome.
That's right.
That was awesome.
That was a hard one.
The road was washing away. Mm. Yeah, that one was really hilly. But this is just the next one. So we'll see.
Are you ready for this one? Honestly.
Look, I was on Broadway for 6.5 weeks and I didn't run at all and a half weeks. But I caught up. I did a couple of 60-mile weeks after my Broadway run was over.
All right.
So in my mind, I feel like I'm ready.
Beast mode.
Whether or not actually am will be to be determined. But when I'm running down the Champs-Élysées and through all these, whatever, in Paris, it'll be fantastic.
That's awesome, man. I didn't even know you guys rescheduled.
Tracy's not going. I'm going.
You're going by yourself?
I'm going by myself. Getting on a plane, going to stay with her former boss. Chris Birch, who has a big chalet outside
guy.
Of Paris. He's having a dinner party. I'll go to the dinner party. And then the next morning, I'll get up and go run a marathon.
Okay.
It is
what
it is.
A little hungover going to run that marathon?
I doubt it, but I'm not going to be hungover.
Oh, my God.
And then Tracy and I will take our actual trip in a couple of weeks.
Okay. So while Teak is doing that,
but I did get my
we'll be watching golf.
But I did get my passport renewed in about 45 minutes.
Awesome,
by the way. And by the way, they're right across the street.
I didn't know that.
The emergency passport renewal is right across the street. Michael Hoffman took care of me.
Okay.
Awesome dude.
Attaboy,
awesome
Hoff.
Dude. And my buddy Ken Cardona, who's a former NYPD detective.
Ken Kardashian.
Cardona.
Oh, Cardona.
Cardona. Hooked me up. So got to give a shout out to those guys.
You got some people and friends in high spots.
Yeah, man.
Going to get you across the borders. Attaboy. So Tinky's getting ready to run. I'm sure he'll check in on the Masters from the road. I know you will, because that's what you do when you hit the road. You got to keep up with the job, and I know you will.
And it'll be not even – what will it be?
What's the time difference again from Paris?
It's
Paris,
6 hours.
Six
hours. So the race – it won't even have started Sunday when I'm done running.
So you'll be in good shape.
Oh, yeah. I'd be able to watch the entire final round.
Well, I think that no matter when you tune in, you know, whether it's Teak, whether it's you, Tiger Woods is going to be on our screen all weekend.
I think you're right.
Tiger Woods, let's just set this up. I don't know if he's going to win. He's going to be, you know, taking that meaningful walk on the back nine. Today, by the way, on Sunday, today was a very, very volatile round. I was following this morning, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Bryson DeChambeau was.
That's my guy.
I know. Teak, you played with him at the Valspar, at the Pro-Am. He's a quirky cat.
Very.
Very confident, very unique. Science angles, if you don't know the story behind it. Many of you do, if you follow golf. But if you don't, do a little digging. It's very interesting.
Just check my Twitter account. I tweeted out a story that someone wrote about him yesterday.
Okay.
It's very detailed about how His swing is so calculated. It's single plane.
I know. Single shaft is the same length.
Exactly.
Seven iron pitching wedge, same thing.
He takes into account the grass and the wind, like everything that most guys do.
There's no way. But I'm just not wired that way. If somebody said, hey, listen, I'm going to hand you this, because you know how much golf torments me. If somebody said, I'm going to hand you this golfing gift, and you are going to be able to not only play well, but win, like be a pro.
And he's won a couple of times.
But you have to play like Bryson DeChambeau.
Yep.
I'd say no, I'd rather go hack it around my buddies, have a couple drinks. I couldn't lock in for 6 hours on numbers the way this guy does.
I agree.
Almost takes the joy and the spontaneity away from it.
But he dialed in one yesterday on 18.
Oh,
Hold it in, but it hit the pin and bounced out somehow.
Mickelson almost had an ace.
Yeah,
lefty's
right.
Playing well. But as I'm watching, DeChambeau got a little sloppy on the back.
Yeah, plus two today so far.
Yeah, plus two today. He started with a birdie, then he bogeyed 7, bogeyed 9, double bogeyed 10, bogeyed 12. All right, but you know the key here is I know that there's diehard golf fans, and we certainly want to appeal to you. And then there's golf fans who want to know what's Tiger doing, what's Lefty doing. I'll worry about everything after that. Did you see Tiger's first hole?
No.
Okay. Tiger Woods starts minus two, mm-hmm. Which, by the way, at the end of yesterday, even though I thought he would lament a shot or two that he left on the board, as I said during the show, Tiger ended yesterday within punching distance of the top spot, and then guys got hot. DeChambeau was one of them. Mm-hmm. You look up, Molinari's a beast internationally. He beat Mickelson at the Open Championship. As we know, great golfing pedigree. So I thought the first hole was really important for Tiger Woods. What does he do? He tugs his drive, and I'm watching this, right? The live coverage? It was just kind of like
the regional.
I don't know. It was like they join in, and they kind of, like Mike Tirico's talking.
They hop in, and then they show a highlight. Yeah. It's like what MLB Network does.
But I don't think they do it live. I don't think they can. I think it's a rights thing.
You're probably right, but it's
similar
highlight.
To that.
It's a highlight.
You eventually get to see what you want to see. Yeah. So Tiger's first shot is, I'm assuming long, but really left. He had a window, right? They said on the telecast or the clip, 4 feet. So you're talking about this, right? And it's not like it was 4 feet and then it was completely free. It was 4 feet that he was going through and then it was mangled mess everywhere else. He launches stinger, whatever terminology you want to use, rifles it out. Could really only go for the front of the green because the curvature just couldn't quite bend it from that. I don't think from the pine straw. I don't think. Hits it on the apron, kind of bangs up to the fringe or just on the green. He's got about a 50 footer for birdie. Just tap in, take your par, move on to the second hole, which is the par five. He was about 8 or 9 feet short on his birdie putt,
mm-hmm.
and right away you get a sense, okay, where's the putter? And he drains it. So I thought that was a big shot. It obviously buoyed him a little bit because even though he didn't birdie the par 5-2, he did birdie 4. So he's gone par, 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 birdie, unless something's changed in the last couple of minutes here.
It has not.
Okay, Tiger's right there, minus 3, which makes it good for us.
He is, and I think it's important. And I think we're going to get this regardless, that a big name be up there at the end of day two heading into the weekend. Francisco Molinari, the lay golf fan doesn't really know that name
deeply.
But Jason Day is right there.
I don't know how he's playing.
I don't either.
I know you were off yesterday.
His back jacked up. I saw that, picking up his daughter.
I don't know how he's playing. He's hitting the ball like three.
I know.
He's hitting 3 woods.
You're right.
290. How does he swing?
You know how he's playing? Because it's the Masters. Think about your biggest event of your sporting year.
Yeah.
Right? Is your little back going to hurt you? It might do some long-term damage. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
But
you
push
philosophically.
I agree. But you're not used to seeing golfers do this, though.
Not like this. And there's still the physical limitations of the back. But any way you cut it, he's obviously working around that. Jason Day's playing really well.
Yep. And Phil Mickelson is there as well.
Lefty.
Bruce Koepka. Who lost a lot of weight and people gave him grief about it.
Brandel Chambly was all over
exactly.
him.
Exactly. Bryson, who we talked about, and obviously Tiger Woods. So there's a bunch of names that are in striking distance from the top. So that's going to make
Dustin Johnson's there too.
Exactly. So that's going to make for a great weekend for the Masters this coming weekend.
You know, I don't know if people would agree with it. I got my audio on. Pardon me for the let's get off the golf coverage there. I don't know if everybody would agree with me on this, but I believe, and maybe this is something we can get into coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney. Like, I think that as you watch the Masters, the U.S. Open, Open Championship, PGA Championship, lesser extent, yeah, of course, you know, the carrot, the appeal for the French fan is to wake up and you know that on moving day on Saturday and obviously on Sunday, that Tiger Woods is at the top of the leaderboard. I can't quantify this, but I feel like there's more energy on a golf course pertaining to Tiger and his presence when he's like two or three shots back and he drains that first big birdie putt. I almost feel like, and it's a risk, I almost want him to start tomorrow two or three back so we can work our way up to that aura.
So
that,
you need the crescendo.
That frenzy.
You need the crescendo. Like the like you don't,
I prefer
so,
it.
So his old way of winning was
domination.
Yep. I'm out in front by two or three shots after day one, day two, the two or more three shots.
And like, then Saturday I crush your soul.
Exactly.
When it's over.
By the way, and then I'm just stepping on your necks. I'll love you behind me.
Peace
that
out.
Doesn't matter.
Who's those, playing for second?
Those bets with the field, take me.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know yeah, what I mean? True, so, true.
But that's not Tiger anymore. Tiger doesn't have that aura anymore.
No.
And I think more importantly, BT, these guys aren't scared of him.
No.
They respect him, I think. I think they actually love his comeback story. I'm talking about the players, but I think fans do as well. So even if you used to didn't like Tiger Woods, I think you now kind of have changed your mind about Tiger.
He's been humbled.
Extraordinary.
He's a human
humbled.
Being again, so which many, is good
and,
to see.
And always he's been humbled. And so now he's getting a chance to rebuild who he is, which is, it's just fun to watch that.
It
right?
Is.
And if the success happens at this stage, that and you say you and you can say you are watching and you feel for him. So I think Tiger's import to golf is enormous.
Oh, come on, hit this putt. I'm listening to you,
yeah,
T. Trust
is,
me.
Who is this?
This is for par. This is Tiger. Get up. Get up. Get up.
I just missed it. Just missed outside.
Burns
Tiger,
by the left
Tiger
lip.
I know Tiger in his white today. But yeah, but if Tiger is in this, then we pay attention for so many more reasons than if Brooks Koepka or Dustin Johnson or any of these other really great players are atop the leaderboard and potentially going to win.
Yeah, listen, Tiger's on a different planet. He's in his own solar system. We all know that. But I think the only one that's even remotely comparable, and it's not even Rory, it's still Lefty. I mean,
Phil.
By the way, yeah, if Phil wins this weekend, the oldest to ever win a major. You don't look at Phil Mickelson as ancient, but based on the track record, he's 48.
Yeah.
The
wow.
track record of major champions, I mean, he would be the oldest to win a major.
Yeah, and he's had a really up and
crazy?
Down, really up and down day today. Three birdies, three bogeys.
That's okay, even par after a good first day. You can navigate that.
Yeah.
What? Oh God, what was the year? It may have been 2006, I might be offered. Tom Watson almost challenged that in a big way. Remember the British Open, the Open Championship,
right.
When Tom was 60, whatever he was?
Mm-hmm.
And he actually had that bad luck on the 18th green. He had a beautiful hybrid to a pin that was in the right portion of the rear part of the green, and he really just got a bad bounce. It really should have settled. I mean, get a little geeky here. But the point is, if Phil wins, it's history. So, listen, I think that, you know, Tiger Woods now is, I think we're past from, you know, for the average fan, I think we're past the questions, can he win? Because he already did last year.
Yeah.
Not a major, but can he sustain it? You know, I don't think we need to ask those questions. I really encourage you, sit back and just watch Tiger Woods attack his craft. Enjoy it.
I agree.
Because he's going to put up a lot of red numbers.
You're right.
You know?
And the broadcasters that do golf, especially at this stage, they tell the story so well. And I can't wait for Jim Nance to get on and start telling
Hello,
the story
friends.
For CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, French. Jason Day is now the co-leader of the Masters Tournament.
You know, I'll tell you, as much as I want to see Tiger or Phil win, you know, Jason Day, what he's gone through, that would be, he's a good guy, too.
Agreed.
You know, his story, blue collar, you know, abandoned by his dad. He had you know, a mentor that really
didn't
have any money, a hard scrabble kid. That would be a good story.
I
so this anywhere you look, there's a lot of good stories, which basically is the bottom line, which makes this weekend tremendous. 1-855-212-4227 on a Masters Friday. Also NBA playoff weekend, 4 Saturday, 4 Sunday. We've got inbounds, out of bounds coming up, and we'll get some calls, get some tweets on what should be a really fun weekend. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Somebody by the name of Mike Weir just popped up on. I say that facetiously. I haven't seen Mike in years.
No, we had him in studio, though. Remember? Because he was doing golf analysis
I do.
Work.
Great guy.
Great
but
guy.
But I haven't seen him on a golf course in a while, is what
either.
I mean.
I haven't either.
Been a while.
But I tell you, he's on a par 5, I believe, right now. He has 3 wood in the rough.
Yeah.
Lefty.
Yep.
Nice,
course.
Easy, smooth swing. You put it about 3 feet from the cup.
He's got a little tap in on a putt, so an eagle, but he's plus 5, so he's got to get going.
No, I mean, he has no chance right now.
Just make the cut, and what is it? So it's 10 within the lead, which obviously is interesting because it's pretty bunched up. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Let's go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So Teague Saturday. We'll do a little more golf here, obviously. Keep an eye on this throughout the show. Saturday, get the 4 NBA games starting at 2:40.
Mm-hmm.
The Nets and the Sixers, and then staggered up to 10:30 Eastern, the Spurs and the Nuggets. Sunday, the same deal. The 4 games, 1 Eastern, 3:30, 7 and 9:30. I actually gave my predictions without giving away too much here, just to kind of whet the appetite for later. Any upsets that you're pondering here?
I can't see any. Off the top of my head.
Okay. Not counting the Thunder, even though that literally would be an upset based on the seeding.
Yeah, but
Vegas does not view it as an upset.
No, I don't see it that way. I don't see it happening. I think that the favorites are too strong, especially when you look in the East with the Bucks and the Celtics and the 76ers there. I think those and obviously the Raptors as well. Those four will easily be through in my mind. But you never know in basketball, especially with it's evolving. Like the East is evolving. We don't know a lot about, the metal of some of these lower teams.
That's
so
true.
No upsets in my mind, but it could happen.
Okay. By the way, why I've seen him do this before. Why is Bubba playing with a yellow ball?
He does it all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes he plays with a pink ball.
Well, that's okay. That's his thing. He's had the pink driver for a long time.
But it's just weird.
If you hit a yellow ball, right?
Well, it's so you can find it because you're so erratic, right?
I guess so. Maybe it's just, I don't know. I mean, they don't have to look that hard to find their ball.
No.
Somebody looks and finds it for them.
And every PGA
it's called a ranger.
Event. Yeah, and every PGA event,
and
there's thousands of people standing around.
As soon as the ball's hit, you got four caddies. Yeah. You know, but not
and
really
the fans
caddy,
take
you know
pride
I mean.
In finding
yes.
it. If you go awry, it's like, oh, it's right here. I
you
got
get
it.
On TV. You get right up to the ball. I told you the story when I did that with Tiger.
That's
I was
right.
on SportsCenter
That's
because
right.
I did it. It's about 20 years ago. But the yellow ball that's almost unacceptable. Like, that's the kind of ball that you grab, and we've all been at this point, when it's like the 15th hole, and you're just slogging through a miserable, whatever your score is, average, you are 8-9 shots worse, you can't find a fairway, you're in the bunker all day, and you're basically out of balls.
Or you have your nice ones, and you know you're playing horrible.
That too. Like, you know what? That's funny. It's funny to say that's true. You don't trust yourself well enough to hit the
bogey
one.
I'm not losing my good balls right now.
That is funny that you say that is true. It works both ways.
Which one did I find in the woods or in the lake? Oh,
let's see.
Let me pull this one out.
Where's the one that says ultra? Oh, yeah, there it is. Where's the one that says Slozenger? Oh, yeah, there it is. I made the idiotic mistake. Remember when I got the Vice balls? It's a relatively new brand. A couple of years.
Oh, yeah. When we were still. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
And
in our other
newsroom.
They're solid, man. They're actually positioned as Pro V1s at about 65 or a little less percent of the cost.
Okay.
I myself a couple dozen. I liked them, but like an idiot, I got my initials on them.
Oh, God.
I don't know why I did that. I don't know. So every course I played in New Jersey, I left a trail of BT balls like a complete clown. And I mean, so now you got to go incognito.
I saw something the other day where you can customize. I mean, just like any other sport or endeavor, they're starting to customize golf balls. So you can actually put your face on the golf ball.
Who's doing that?
I don't know. People are vain.
Maybe put your ex-wife's or your ex-husband's face on the ball.
Smack it around.
You know.
But you talk about if you're going to lose them, that's kind of cool. You know, lose your face. Someone pick it up. Look at this.
I guess you can look at it that way. All these things, it's funny. So we have Little League tomorrow. I can't wait for Little League. And now that Little League has started, and I'm starting to look at the gear, and I'm starting to get a sense of everything, like, you can personalize everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get a Rawlings glove, you get your name or your nickname or your Spikes Under Armour, you put your number, your name. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Why didn't I have this stuff?
Because it wasn't in advance. They didn't realize it as a money-making tool like it is now.
I know. And there's something to be said for it. And I think that golf is most guilty of this. I admit, and when it comes to golf, I'm just flat out weird. And nobody gets in their own head more than me. I admit it. But also, nobody has the fluctuations of like pure, euphoria and completely downtrodden like me. I go the whole gamut. But in my warped golfing mind, do you, and I don't think you do this because you don't play enough and you're an ex-athlete, so you probably don't do this, a pro athlete. Like the night before I'm playing, I get out the outfit, like the Nike gear, I fold it up. Like as I'm folding, I get the white belt.
I hear
as
you.
I'm putting it out, I actually feel like I'm going to play better.
No, I hear you.
Isn't that sad?
Well, it's preparation.
It never works.
No, but it's a mindset.
But it doesn't work. Look, so what kind of mindset is it?
I was this way when I was playing in the NFL. I would get to the stadium, and I would just lay things out, like put my pads certain way. And just so that when you go do it, It's in the way that you want it to be. But you know, I do that now with running.
Yeah, so I can see that.
So when I'm getting ready to run a marathon, I have my shoes laid out with my shirt and the bib. I have my overlaying clothes because you got to toss stuff. It's always cold in the mornings when you go through these things. Everything is laid out. The packets of juice and whatever.
The Vaseline, so you don't get the chafing.
Seriously, all that. It's all laid out. It's like pristine. because the problem is you don't want to forget it. You know, it's like if you get there and you forget, say, the Vaseline, and all of a sudden you're in like mile 15, and you're like, man, this hurts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
This hurts, and it's not getting any better for the next 11 miles.
It hurts in two spots.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
No, no.
Exactly. So you have to remember. The same thing, I think, is with golf. Like, if you forget your glove.
Yeah, but your buddy, unless you're a lefty like me, and you don't play, although one of my best friends is a lefty.
True, but it's not yours.
Think about that. No, it's not
yours.
I hear you.
And so all of these guys, they all have routines. And that's why it's interesting to watch the mechanisms and the idiosyncrasies of these guys if you love golf enough to pay attention to them. Because they all have them. And it's fun. It used to be Sergio's like big downfall. That's why people hate
waggle.
Him because of his waggle. Like he would waggle for 5 minutes.
Thank God he got rid of that.
I'm telling you, I think they forced him to get rid of it.
That was ridiculous.
But I don't know. Golf feels homogenized in a lot of ways. It's like same swing, same everything. You know, the sevies are gone. And
we've talked about this. The creativity, the flair, the feel player.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Furyk, whatever the heck it is.
The little loop de loo where he somehow positions the club face perfectly every time.
All these other guys, it's the same swing.
It's crazy.
Right, and it's actually why I kind of like Bryson DeChambeau because he plays the style of golf that I feel like I could do. Right, when I look at Tiger,
he does look easier what he does. Yeah. Yet it's exponentially more difficult based on the numbers.
But when
that
I
he
look
weighs.
At Tiger and he's like turned completely around,
I
like
hear
his
you.
Hips are still squared to
the
ball.
Yeah,
but
yep.
You know, his club is like all the way back here. I'm like, there's no way I'm ever going to do that.
If you can't do it, sure as hell, a partner's not going to be able to do it.
So when I see Bryson DeChambeau just straight
he's
back,
he's got that very rigid. He looks so uncomfortable. He's up there with his iron, like, dude, you look like a 29 handicap.
You're right.
You look athletic,
but the club goes right back on the line. Comes right back into the club, right in the ball striking zone. He hits it perfectly
every time.
Every single time. God, every so single time. Except for when his putting is awry, as it's been on the back nine today. Double bogey and two bogeys.
Yeah, missed a three-footer we were watching before. He actually was about 3 feet away. And this is rare for a pro golfer. I know that there's much more undulation and bend on these greens than TV would suggest.
Yeah, and they're slick, and we can't see the grain, really. But
no, can't see the grain. They're probably, I would guess, 13-ish on the stint, maybe a 14 as you get deeper into the weekend, although it's going to rain on Sunday. But he was about 3.5 feet away, and it was for a par.
Mm-hmm.
He wound up about 4 feet away. You don't see a pro golfer wind up further than the original distance of their first putt.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
It's in his mind. It's in his mind. Yeah, exactly.
That's what we do.
Because we don't pay attention. We don't focus. We're like, I got this. You try to slam it in. It goes 4 feet past. But he got the comebacker for both.
All right. Any changes? What has Tiger done, Mr. DeSalle? We'll call him Mr. DeSalle. It sounds a little fancier, a little more prestigious. Instead of DeSalle,
Molinari,
Mr. DeSalle
is leader in the clubhouse right now.
Let's start calling Tommy D. Let's start calling him Yomas DeSalle.
Yomas.
Yeah. Then we're going to just mix your name up a little bit. You okay with that?
Where's that coming from?
I don't know. Golf, there's a lot of foreign golfers on the leaderboard. I don't know.
Yomas
DeSalle.
I don't think that's going to stick.
It will if I make sure it does. Let's get the update from Mac. We'll see what's happening with the leaderboard. After that, we have inbounds, out of bounds, and another NBA head coach getting the boot. Mm. That thing's been busy the last couple of days. Did they get it right? Ack is coming at you right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, a little IBOB coming up here on the show, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. It's time to answer our ask. Oh, pardon me. It's time to ask our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag AskThePros. And, you know, make us think a little bit, as I like to say. The more poignant the question, better chance we get around to it. Teague, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I missed this, really, probably because he's not in contention. We've all done this. Zach Johnson on the 13th hole. See what he did today? You saw this?
Yes, it with the practice swing.
I can't believe I've never seen a pro do that. I've always wondered what happens.
I've done that.
Of course we've done it. You've done it. We've all done it, for those who don't know. Zach Johnson, who won a Masters back in 07, I want to say. Good player, scrappy kid, very good player, multiple majors. And he's very methodical in his approach, mm-hmm. Not a long hitter, great putter, et cetera, but he's very deliberate. And he took a couple of practice swings, and his ball, and I don't know why these guys do it, he's lining up his tee very close to the marker on the tee box. Takes a practice swing, clips it,
yeah,
and it bangs off the wooden post, and it ricochets. He says, "Oh bleep," and he looks at Matt Mooch, Matt Moochar, and he was not assessed a penalty.
Hmm.
I would not have known the rule on that.
I didn't know the rule on that.
I thought maybe in a place like that at Augusta, if anyone's going to hit you with a one penalty zing, right, for getting sloppy on your practice shot, I thought it could be them. But he is.
That's funny.
That is great. It's all over Instagram if you guys want to check it out. It's pretty funny.
When you do that, yep, when you and I do that, and your buddy or whoever is like, one.
Yeah. I just took the words out of my mouth.
It's actually not the case.
No.
Which is interesting.
But it's more like, it's very rare, like a full practice swing when you'll do it. It's more like you kind of set in the club and maybe you're adjusting your shoulders and you just kind of dink it off the tee. And that's even worse because then you hear one from your buddy in the back.
But if you should do this on the green, it actually is a stroke.
Even if the ball's marked?
If it's not marked.
So okay, yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. I would think that is true. Okay. Inbounds, out of bounds. Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Tiki, here we go. Now, yesterday we discussed Dave Yeager being fired by the Kings, but he wasn't only the only NBA head coach to get relieved of his duties yesterday.
We don't talk about this like we do the NFL.
No, we don't.
We should, but we don't.
We definitely don't, and we never will.
No,
although
right,
we love the NBA, it's just not going to... it's Black Monday
around the
NFL.
The bottom dwellers, we just don't pay attention to. And half the time, the coach gets fired, and you're like, oh, I forgot he was coach of that team.
True. All right, so 33-49 for the Grizzlies. That saw them trade longtime center Marc Gasol. We talked about that quite a bit when it happened. Memphis fired J.B. Bickerstaff. Now, Bickerstaff spent almost two full seasons as the Grizz head coach. He went 48-97. Conley was banged up for a big chunk of the first year last year. And obviously this year they started selling parts. So inbounds, out of bounds. It makes sense to fire a head coach when a team isn't expected to win going through a rebuild.
Look, I think in this case it probably does make sense because he's not the guy. But I'm going to say out of bounds in general. It's just it's really hard to keep a guy for 2 years, get on board with his philosophy. And I'm not just talking about this specific situation. I'm just talking about in general. You have a guy, he doesn't quickly turn it around. And so you lose faith in him and you're like, all right, it's over. Let's find the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a vicious cycle that's really hard to get out of. So I'm going to say out of bounds. In the Grizzlies' case, like Dylan Brooks, he was banged up. He hasn't been who we thought he was. Avery Bradley, remember in Boston, he was like the man.
The lockdown defender.
And you're right. He goes to Detroit, and now here he is in Memphis. And you're like, who's Avery Bradley again?
He's really,
exactly.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson's young kid.
He's
Chandler Parsons
really
is there as well. But it's going to be some time before they get good.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's unfair when you do this to a coach, especially when you start the cycle of doing it to every other coach that you hire.
Okay. This is a tough one for me because it's a very nuanced answer, at least what I first read this before the show and formulated my initial thoughts, and I worked my way through it. As I read the question again, it makes sense to fire a head coach when a team isn't expected to win going through a rebuild. I can kind of co-sign that statement in totality.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you know, it could be independent of record, but there could also be an issue with player development.
Mm-hmm.
Are they not implementing the proper style?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a disconnect with the GM?
You're right.
Is there a culture issue? Is there three of the four things I mentioned? Four of the four, two of the four. So, yeah, it's about the record. It's about, you know, the direction, the aesthetics of the direction of the team. But it could also be, You know, we're losing a lot, and we're losing, and we're gaining no traction because the things that I just ran through are not working out. So, it's a tough question, but I'm staying in bounds on this, Teak.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, now, we've discussed how the Mariners are off to a hot start this season, 13-2. But they're also setting some records. Last night, D. Gordon's bomb in the sixth against the Royals. 15 straight games, the M's have had at least one home run.
It's unreal.
The most ever to start a season. Never happened before. The Mariners have 36 home runs, and they've scored 117 runs this season, both most in baseball. In or out, Major League Baseball offense is being dependent on home runs is fool's gold.
I'm going to say this is out of bounds, BT. I don't think this is fool's gold. I think when you have somehow they're hanging on, and when their pitching lets them down, they're still finding ways to win games. Like whether it's Wade LeBlanc or King Felix, who I think had a stomach flu or something a couple of days ago, so he was out. Mike Leake as well. They're not perfect pitchers. They're all hanging around 4-ish ERAs, but they get saved. And when it's so many different guys that are doing it, I think it's viable. So I don't think it is fool's gold.
Okay, so you answered that more specific, like Seattle.
Yes.
That's cool because we're not going to overlap here. I'm going to kind of go the broad view of baseball. I say absolutely inbounds. I say it for this reason. I do make the distinction for sure. You can mash your way to 90 wins. You can.
Yeah.
Because, you already start looking at the bad teams around Major League Baseball, or at least take away the teams who we believe will be good but are off to bad starts.
Yeah, like the Yankees.
Like the Red Sox. The Yankees with Sanchez. Now he's hurt. Yankees are really.
It's a different animal because it's injuries.
With injuries.
Every single guy.
I know. But even if they're fully healthy, I'm not sure their rotation's great. Yankees, not worried.
But you have faith that they can mash their way to wins.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Or under that model, I do think if you start looking around and you look at teams that are—I don't have the standings in front of me—but teams that are off to slow starts, like the Reds, just recently started to hit a little bit. Matt Kemp finally went yard. They weren't scoring any runs, but I don't think, even though I thought they would be improved this year, doesn't look like they'll be much improved. A team like the Reds, when you start to get to late May and you're, you know, not quite 60 games in, but maybe 45 to 48 games in, and you've got maybe 20 wins, and you've lost a ton of games, your bullpens are getting smashed.
Yeah.
And because your starters aren't going deep, your bullpens are getting overtaxed, and what happens as a result of a byproduct, the teams that hit bombs start teeing off on average pitching. And you can, that's why I say, mash your way to a wild card, or in some cases, a divisional title. But you can't win a championship like that. Mm. I know there's a few outliers. You know, you don't have to necessarily tweet, and I know that there's been teams out there that mashed, but even like the Bash Brothers with McGuire and Jose Canseco. Yeah. Eckersley was almost as good as Mariano Rivera ever was. He was unhittable, aside from the home run with Gibson in 88. But outside of that, he was untouchable. You know, you had guys that you catcher hit 300, third baseman hit 300. You had guys that were grinders. Ricky stole bases. You have to catch the ball. You have to have a bullpen. So I'm going to say inbounds, but you can mash your way to the playoffs. You just won't hang around too long if that's all you do.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, Teak, the Oakland Raiders head coach John Gruden. Johnny boy's back in football. This is great.
Chucky.
A little advice to first-time GM Mike Mayock 2 weeks before the draft.
This is awesome.
Don't mess it up, dude. I took a lot of slings to get you 3 first-round picks, end quote. He does have 3 first-round picks. Remember, the Raiders have 8 in the draft in totality. Numbers 4, 24, 27. 35, 106, 140, 218, and 235. They can do a lot of different things. In or out, both Mike Mayock and John Gruden's long-term, so you have to obviously put long-term job security are on the line based on their success this year in the draft.
I'm going to say John's is not because he has a 10-year contract.
Agreed.
But Mike Mayock, maybe, I'm going to say out of bounds here, but I think that John likes having a controllable GM. Right? The fact that the head coach is telling the GM, don't mess it up, and it feels like the hierarchy is flipped a little bit, just tells me that as long as Mike is telling John the right things, and I think this is more John's decisions through Mike's voice on draft day, I think that because John has long-term security, Mike has long-term security. So I want to say out of bounds here.
And let me ask you this before I even give you my answer. Say, maybe not the 4th overall pick, but say you get a little deeper in the first round, whether it's 24 or 27 from Dallas. And they are really, you know, polar, like just completely opposite on which way they should go.
Yeah.
But Mike Mayock is, and this is what he's done for a living, is firm and direct and unwavering in his belief of a certain player, does John Gruden have the ability to put the ego aside and say, you know what, I hired you for a reason, let's go with your guy?
I would say yeah. I would say yeah.
I would say I hope so.
Yeah.
But I would stop short of saying
I would say yeah.
I would say yeah.
I think he would. But now, I thought you were going to position that differently.
Okay, go ahead.
As if they were polar opposed to a guy, who would win?
Like, well, I think John Gruden's going to have to win. Don't you think? I mean, he's got the $100 million hammer. Of course he's going to win.
I think Gruden wins.
That's why I didn't even – I thought that was too easy.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Okay, the answer to the question for me is out of bounds. Tiki nailed that Gruden's not getting fired no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it's also very early to start putting – Mike Mayock hasn't made one draft choice. Please, let's not – relax. The microwave sports world, I get it. Could the guy have a draft before we start to assess? And again, I know it's a projection. I hear you, DeSell. Pardon me, DeSell. Yo, must DeSell. But – they've got so many possibilities. I know I ran through the actual picks, but just to like condense it, because I threw a lot of numbers at you, they are four of the first 35. They've got five of the first 107. They've got a fifth rounder and two seventh round picks for equity. They could do a million different things. They could jump up. They can restock. They can look ahead to next year. I can't wait to see what the Raiders do. And by the way, Teek and I will be out there in Nashville for a couple of days doing our show at the Fan Fest. We are pumped to do it, and it is going to be an awesome draft. But I say out of bounds to this question.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, not a big surprise here. Duke freshman Cam Reddish took on social media last night to announce he's going to declare for the NBA draft. Now, Reddish, at one point, remember, Reddish might go three, might go four. Yeah. He's dropping, and he should. Reddish averaged 14 points, four rips for the Blue Devils this year. And on most nights, at least when Zion was healthy, he was a third option behind Zion and R.J. Barrett, who was a little erratic as well, but obviously much more advanced than Cam Reddish. Barrett, that is. In or out, Tiki, Cam Reddish will have to get drafted into the right situation for him to have an immediate impact and success in the NBA.
I think that's inbounds, BT. It's got to be a team like Chicago, who's not going to achieve much next year, but is young and has a nucleus of young guys like Zach LaVine or Markkanen, those guys. Yeah, he can compete with Otto Porter out there. Chicago's the one team, when you look at the draft at the boards, that Cam kind of fits with, because there's not going to be a huge expectation. Let's not forget, Cam Reddish is not a good shooter. 36%, I believe, from the field.
That's exactly what it is.
Interestingly, he's 33% from three-point range.
That's not good.
Yeah, but you're almost better off just taking three-pointers, right? Yeah. If you're going to miss them anyways.
Yeah, true.
Right?
The math is totally behind what you just said.
Yeah, right.
1,000% behind
so
that statement.
I think if he's in a non-pressure situation where there's other scorers and guys that are compelling, then he can thrive a little bit. Kind of like he did at Duke, because people think he's this great player because he had those two other scorers there.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson. So I'm going to say inbounds to this one, but there's not many inbounds opportunities. There's not many places that he can go where that scenario works.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to disagree on my answer. I'm going to say out of bounds. You nailed the field goal percentage. You know, he's a good athlete, but not overly creative for somebody with that athleticism. And
kind of a tweener too.
No, I think he's a good six. I think he's a good small forward.
I'm talking
size.
About where does he play? Is he
small shooting? Forward. 6'8"? Okay. No, I see like a Rudy Gay
does
body.
Does he defend? You know what I mean?
We'll find out. Yeah. I'm not worried about the size as a tweener. I wouldn't co-sign that. But I certainly won't co-sign this. I don't know if he's going to be that good, man. Like I said, I remember after one of the games, I don't think it was when they got bounced, but it was early, maybe right after UCF, when they narrowly escaped the win there, the game. I remember saying, you know, if I wind up with him as a fan of whomever gets him on draft night, I wouldn't be that excited.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, he didn't play. He didn't play in that game?
Yeah. Whatever game it was, Virginia Tech.
You're thinking of Tech.
Maybe Virginia Tech. Where I'm like, that's good catch. It was absolutely Virginia Tech. Where I'm like, I don't know if he's going to be that kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I say out of bounds because he could get drafted anywhere. Even if it is theoretically the right situation for a player who needs molding, I don't know if he's going to be molded into what people hope he's going to be.
Yeah.
But a lot of hype there that I don't see.
But what I mean by what does he do?
Yep.
Who does he defend? Like, what is he, you know what, because it's not his game either.
Yeah.
So if he's not a scorer, right, he only took like, 12 or 14 shots a game. He made like four, right?
Yeah,
and he's not. And he's not a defender.
He made exactly four. If he took 12,
what are you doing with that's what scares me.
Yeah,
it's like, what do you do with him?
Yeah,
how do you justify him being on the court?
I don't love him. You know, he's not a pro yet, so I don't want to be overly harsh or be unfair to the young man.
He's 19 years old.
I could be dead wrong on this, but right now, my instincts say that Cam Reddish is going to be a disappointment.
You better be putting up 156 shots in a day in the gym. Maybe more.
156. That's an odd number. Whatever. What? More like 1,056 if he wants to get off that 33% from beyond the arc and 36% overall. Hey, will we learn anything about the championship contenders coming up this weekend?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.